All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. All right, to be honest with you tonight, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this. I want to read the passage to you that has been in our Living Cross for years. I remember when Pastor Sterling put it in, the Living Cross. And he came in and sat down and said, Pastor, you preached out of Matthew 21. And I said, yes, a couple of years ago when I first came here, I preached a message out of this passage. And he said, I want to use that in the Living Cross. I think it makes a tremendous transition into what we want to portray in the Living Cross. It's in just about all of them that we do. There might be one or two, but I think it's in most of them that we do. At least it has been for the last many years. And you will recognize the scripture when I read it. And I want to I want to show you tonight why this is so transitional, why this is so important, and it might help better explain the point that we're trying to make in the Living Cross. If you will look at verse 23, all right, let's start in verse 23, and you'll recognize the passage here. Verse 23. It says, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in like wise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but if you read verse 28 and following, you will see that he just continued on as if the Pharisees and the scribes were not even there. I can imagine that this was quite an awkward situation. He is already in the temple, according to verse 23, and these men approach him. There is no doubt a crowd that has gathered, and these men come and question him in front of all these people, and they want to know, by whose authority are you doing what you're doing? And he said, all right, let me ask you a question. John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it of men? And they got their little heads together and decided no matter what they answer, he's got them. If he says, well, it was from God, then he's just going to point his finger in our face and say, then why didn't you believe it? why didn't you believe John? So we can't say that. So another one said, well, we can't say of men because all these commoners, they think John was a prophet. And so they just decided, well, we won't answer. And what is amazing to me is that the Lord just simply says at the end of verse 27, well, I'm not going to answer you either. And he just went on teaching like they weren't even there. That had to have been awkward. And I can just see them now, one by one, dispersing. Embarrassed, I'm sure ashamed, humiliated. But just one by one, they turn and walk away. And the Lord just kept on like nothing ever happened. Now, I want us to pray, and then I want you to think about these verses tonight. There is a principle here that we need to know. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then I'll show you that principle. Father, we ask now your blessings to be upon the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for your Word. Bless this to our hearts. Father, we have for years now, in every Living Cross we've done in recent years, we have witnessed this scene take place. And I pray now you'll help us tonight to thoroughly understand why it's in there. And Lord, next year, if it's there again, it probably will be, I pray that we will get more out of it, that we will understand more, and it'll bless our hearts as we realize what transpired at this scene. So Lord, bless, fill me and help me tonight as I speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me remind you that the Apostle Peter was here. All right? Just very quickly, hold your place here. But go over to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 18. 2 Peter 3:18, and this is Peter's last bit of instruction in his second epistle. And in verse 18, he says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." But grow. You see, you and I are supposed to just be growing in the Lord. We're to be learning the things of God. That's why I challenge you to read your Bible every day. Read it, learn it, know it, study it, memorize it. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is in Scripture a great contrast that is made between light and darkness. The light is a representation. Let me say it that way. It's a representation of deliverance, of salvation, of understanding, of guidance, of just a general awareness of the truth. The Bible often uses light in that respect. That you see something, you learn something, you understand something, that's light from God. The Bible is full of light. It will open your eyes to enable you to see the things of God. Then the Bible contrasts light with darkness. Darkness, of course, is representative of sin and of unbelief and of everything in the realm of the spiritual that is opposed to God. And when you stop and think about it, we often use this contrast in everyday conversation. We will talk to one another and we'll say, have you seen the light on this subject? Or you'll see somebody, you'll say to yourself, man, that guy's in the dark. He has no clue. All right, so we use that contrast all the time. If you stop and think about it, many of the hymns in your hymn book have to do with this contrast between light and darkness. We sing, for example, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. We sing, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin, but the light of the world is Jesus. So we use this contrast all the time. The Bible talks about how somebody who is unsaved and somebody who has no knowledge of God is living their life in spiritual darkness. Darkness. And then somebody who trusts the Lord, who gets saved, gets the light, and he's able to walk in the light that he's been given. So all the way through the Bible is this contrast between light and darkness. Now, in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus is in the temple. You will go back earlier in the chapter and you will see that he went into the temple and cleansed the temple of all the foolishness that was going on in there in the name of the Lord. And now he's seated in that temple and he is teaching and he is instructing the people. And while he's there, the scribes and the elders came in and they asked him, who gave you the authority to do what you're doing? Now you got to realize, folks, that the reason that they approached him here was to silence him. It was to trap him. It was to trick him. And these guys were smart. They were worldly wise, if you will. They had, of course, the devil helping them at every turn and at every step of the way. And they came into the temple with the intention of trapping the Lord Jesus, trapping him and getting him in a snare where they could have him arrested and have his ministry silenced. Now, that question they asked is important. Because you see, they were the ones who authorized anybody to do anything in that temple. They knew that they had not given him authority to go in the temple and teach. And so they figured, whatever his answer, we've got him. So they march right in, stand in front of all those people, and they asked him, who gave you the authority to do what you're doing? Who gave you the authority to come in here and teach the people? They knew that they did not give it to him. And so they figured, whatever it is that he answers with, we've got it. Well, he surprised them. Instead of answering their question, he asked them a question. And what he said was, all right, look at your Bible. This is real important. Look at verse 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing. And if you answer me, then I'll answer you. I'm going to ask you one question. You answer my question, and then I will answer your question as to whose authority I have to do what I'm doing. And here was his question. Verse 25. The baptism of John. Where did it come from? Was John sent from God, like he said? Or was he of men? Now, the Bible does not tell us here, but in my mind, what I see are these men. I don't know how many there were. In my mind, there's five. Could be more. Could be less. I don't know. Does not say. But I like to use my imagination as I read the Bible, and in my mind I can see five of them standing there with their robes on, their hats on, they've got their phylacteries tied around their forehead and the leather straps around their arms, and they just look so pious and so holy. And I can just see them standing there with their chest puffed out. And I can just see them giving everybody that snide look as if to say, you watch, boy, we're going to tear him up now. You just watch this. And so one of them speaks. Who gave you the authority to do this? And Jesus said, all right, I'm going to ask you one question. Now, if you will answer my question, I will answer yours. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it of God or was it of men? Now, it doesn't say, but I can see all five of them kind of going off to the side where nobody can hear what they're saying and whispering back and forth to one another. And one of them, probably the oldest one, looks and says, you know what? If we say that John's baptism was from heaven, he's going to point his finger at us right in front of all these people and ask us, why didn't you believe it if he was from heaven? And they all said, well, yeah, you're right. We can't say that. We can't say that John was from heaven. And then another one speaks up and says, but you know, if we say that John's baptism was of men, then we're going to get everybody mad at us again, because all these commoners, they all think that John was a prophet of God. And I'm sure that the debate went back and forth. They probably stood off to the side for several minutes and probably all started talking at once when one of them silenced everyone and looked at him and said, look, guys, you're forgetting something here. He is nothing more than a carpenter from Galilee. We are the chosen. We are the elders. And who does he think he is questioning us? We don't have to answer his question. We'll just walk right over and stand in front of all the people and exert executive privilege. We will just stand there and show ourselves for who we really are, and we will tell him in front of everybody else that he has no right to question us. And that's exactly what they did. They walked over and stood in front of the Lord Jesus and they said to him, we cannot tell. And Jesus turned right around and looked at them and said, well, if you're not going to answer me, I'm not going to answer you either. And then he just turned and started talking to the people in verse 28 as if nothing had ever happened. Now, again, it does not tell us, but I can imagine that one by one, they all just slipped away. And that's why in the play you saw another Pharisee come up right after this and say, Master, and the other ones grab him and say, do not ask him any more questions. Because no matter how hard they tried, they could not get him. All right, so the question is this. Here's the question. Why did Jesus not answer their question? Why? Tell us, by whose authority do you do these things? Why not just answer the question? All right, listen carefully. Look here, folks. Before the Lord Jesus could answer their question, he took them back to the last light that fell on their pathway, John the Baptist, for readiness to receive new light from God. depends upon what you have done with the last light that fell on your path. Do you understand that? Who gave you this authority? He knew that they had rejected John. That was light that God sent them. And the Lord Jesus was light that God sent them. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And so Jesus took these men back to the last light that God sent them for readiness to get new light from God depends upon what you have done with light previously given. Now, folks, listen. This is all the way through the Bible. All the way through the Bible. Go back to Genesis 12 real quick. Go back to Genesis 12. Let me show it to you. First book of the Bible, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, folks, do you think that this is God giving Abraham light? I do. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham, get up. And get out. That's basically what he's saying. Leave your home. Go down to a land. When you get there, I'll let you know you're there. That's light, folks. And in verse 2, he said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's light. Now, how did Abraham deal with his light? Look at verse 4. So Abraham, what's the next word? Departed. In other words, Abraham walked in the light that he had been given. Nod your heads. Sure. Look at chapter 13 and verse 14. The next chapter over, verse 14. And it says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up, what's the next word? Now. Folks, I submit to you that had Abraham not walked in the light that he was given in the 12th chapter, he would not be given the light of the 13th chapter. You got to walk in the light that you've been given. Do you remember over in the book of Acts? In the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, and you've got Philip, and he is out in Gaza, and he's holding a revival meeting, and the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "Leave the revival and go down into the desert. There's somebody down there I want you to meet." So he took off. And he got down in the desert, and in Acts chapter 8 and verse 27 said that, behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man's looking for light. He went to Jerusalem looking for light. Why? I don't know. Maybe somebody told him, you're looking for the truth. Why don't you go to Jerusalem? They got this big temple there. They got all these holy scriptures there. And he was in Jerusalem looking for the truth. But verse 28 says, he was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. He's in a chariot. He's going home, going back to Ethiopia. And he's sitting in a chariot. This guy's got some big bucks. You say, how you know that? He bought a copy of the book of Isaiah while he was in Jerusalem. You ever tried to do that? They don't give those away. They cost millions of dollars. You can't even buy one because everybody's got one, wants to keep theirs. Why? They're worth millions of dollars. This guy's sitting in a chariot reading one on his way home. And along comes Philip. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said, Acts 8:29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Folks, I submit to you, this man is looking for the light. He's been in Jerusalem, and he's searching, and he's looking. And if you're looking for light, God is going to show you some light. And now he's coming back from Jerusalem. And God says, Philip, go down there and join yourself to that chariot. Philip's running along beside the chariot. Hey, bud, what are you doing? Reading Isaiah? Where'd you get that? Jerusalem? What are you doing there? Looking for the truth? Well, do you understand what you're reading? No, I don't. Well, pull over and I'll explain it to you. And they stopped, and Philip got in the chariot. And look at your Bible. It says in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was Isaiah 53. Isn't that a coincidence? There's 66 chapters in Isaiah, and it just so happens that at the time when Philip caught up with the chariot, the man was in 53. You say, Pastor, how long you reckon that guy had been in Jerusalem looking for the truth? Long enough to learn Hebrew. He's sitting in the chariot reading Hebrew. Anybody want to try that? This guy's seriously looking for the truth, but he hadn't found it. He's been in, quote unquote, the holy city for a couple of years now, and he's still as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. But he's on his way back, and God sends a soul winner up. Hey, bud, you need some light? I can shine some light for you. And the man got saved. I'm saying, if God gives you some light, you better walk in that light. Look at verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him the church. No, it doesn't say the church, does it? And preached unto him Mormonism. No, it doesn't say that, does it? You say, oh, I wonder what the Greek says. The Greek says the same thing the English says. Jesus. That's what men need, is the light. Now, watch this. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Folks, I've been down there. The only water down there is the Mediterranean. That's it. That's it. A certain water. Well, it's pretty certain. I mean, it's been there a long time. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down both into the water. Into the water. He baptized him in deep water. He didn't sprinkle him. He baptized him. Baptizo. I believe. And he said, well, then let's do this. They both went down in the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he, Philip, baptized the eunuch. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Do you know, folks, there is a huge, huge Christian church in Ethiopia. Could it be that this man went back and shined the light for that whole nation? Very well could have been. But the point is, you get light, you got to walk in it. You see, light is from God. And light accepted increases light. You got to walk in the light you've been given. And when you walk in the light that you've been given, God just keeps shining more light for you to walk in. And every child of God needs to walk in the light that God gives him. What's light? It's truth. And you know, really, most Christians know a whole lot more than what we're doing. Oh yeah, we've had the light shine on us about tithing. But are we tithing? Well, we've had the light shined on us about soul winning, but are we soul winning? We've had the light shined on us about joining the church, but have we joined the church? Oh, I could go on and on. But light accepted increases light. But wait a minute. Light rejected increases darkness. And you know, right there is where most of Christianity is. We come to church and we hear a truth, and boy, we don't like that. Well, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'll do what I want. Wait a minute. God just gave you some light. You going to reject that light? Be careful. Better be careful rejecting light. You won't get any more. Well, I don't like going that open door. God never speaks to my heart there. Really? Really? Are you sure about that? Why don't you go back to where you first got mad at me? Go back to, you remember when it was, hey, pastor. But then all of a sudden it was, oh, get out of here. Here he comes. What happened? Did I kick you in the shins one day? Huh? Did I trip you when you were walking down the hallway? Did I send you an ugly email and rip your face off in an email? No. I never do any of that stuff. Well, what changed? Did I do something to you? Oh, no, you didn't do anything to me. I must have preached a truth. And when that truth hit you, all of a sudden, I become enemy number one. Why is that? And then we come to church and, well, you've already made up your mind. You're not listening. I made you mad 6 years ago. I made you mad 12 years ago. I didn't do something you thought I should have done. But you know, folks, the truth will set you free. Learn that truth. Get that light. You ought to be saying, Lord, just give me all the light I can handle. But now, wait a minute. If you're going to get light, you got to walk in it. And light accepted increases light. Some of you, you'll come up to me and you'll go, Pastor, boy, your sermons the last couple of months, man, they have really been good. Folks, listen, it's same old stuff. I'm sorry. It's the same old stuff. I mean, I labor for everything I give you, really, honestly. It is just, I mean, but you say, well, what's changed? I tell you what's changed. Right here in you, that's what's changed. You started listening and you started walking in the light that you were given. And when you walk in the light that you're given, God says, wait a minute, you thought that light was good. Wait till you see this one. And then he turns on that big old Rayovac battery for you. Oh, Pastor, your sermons lately. No, it's the same old stuff. Go back and check my notebooks. Go back 15 years ago. Same old stuff. But you got to walk in the light you've been given. But now, if light accepted increases light, then light rejected increases darkness. All right, in the play the other night, you saw Brad Dutterer's character when, and Sam, I didn't even recognize you, shaved your beard off. I didn't even recognize you. Now you look like Sam. But Sam and Brad were having the discussion with the boys. And Sam says, who is that fella? And Brad says, oh, that's John, the baptizer. And then Brad says something about, he's not going to have that head much longer. If he doesn't watch what he's saying, because he's got these Pharisees all riled up. And then the scene goes to the end. And Sam asks Brad, the characters, and said, is that the man that we saw baptized down at the river? What was his name? John? John the Baptist? Yeah. Is that the man? Yes, Jesus. That's Jesus. Well, what happened to John? Well, Herod silenced him. Cut his head off. And said, you know, if this one's not careful, Herod's going to do the same thing to him. Now, folks, let's think for just a minute about that whole Herod John the Baptist thing. I mentioned it this morning. Let's think about that for just a minute. You know where they met? They met down at the Jordan River. On the other side of the Dead Sea, Herod had a palace. And he would go down in the mountains of Moab. But in order to get back to Jerusalem, you had to come up and cross over the Jordan. And there's John down there preaching in the wilderness. And Herod and Herodias, who was not his wife, it was his brother's wife. They were living in adultery. And they left the mountains of Moab and came up the road, and there was John preaching. And Herod stopped, and he called out, John, who are you, sir? John said, me? He said, yes, who are you? He said, oh, I'm just a voice. What do you mean you're the voice? I'm just the voice. Well, are you the Messiah? Nope, not the Messiah, just the voice. Are you Jeremiah or one of the prophets? Nope. I'm just a voice. Well, are you the Messiah, the one that everybody's talking about? John said, no, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. Well, then who are you? I told you, sir, I'm just the voice. Herod looked at John and said, well, Mr. Voice, what do you have to say? Oh, that was the wrong thing to ask the voice. Right there in front of all those people, John pointed that old bony finger at Herod, and he said, here is God's message for you, big boy. That woman that you're with is not your wife. That's your brother's wife, and you, sir, are an adulterer, and God is going to lay the axe to the root. Boy, about that time, Herod got an elbow full of, or he got his ribs full of elbow. Herodias just gave him one of those, get me out of here, everybody's laughing at me, and boom, they took off to Jerusalem. But the story doesn't end there, does it? You see, a little while later, Herodias could not get the voice out of her head. She laid her head down on the pillow at night, and all she heard was the voice. And it became birthday time around Herod's household. And Herodias had a little plan and brought Salome, the daughter, in and said, I tell you what, when Herod and all the gang get good and drunk, you go in and dance for them. He's going to be pleased. He's going to ask, tell you, you can have anything you want. Anything you want. And when he does, you tell him you want John's head on a platter. And the plan worked to a T. And Herod had John's head cut off. She silenced the voice. But the story doesn't end there, does it? A couple years later, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's at the house of Caiaphas. He goes to the house of Pilate. He is sent back to Caiaphas. He's sent back to Pilate. And then they said, Herod's in town. Pilate went, what? Herod's here? Oh, by the way, same Herod. Exact same man that cut off John's head. What? You mean to tell me Herod's... Well, send him over to Herod. So they sent him over to Herod. And when Jesus was before Pilate, talk. Pilate asked him questions. Jesus answered the questions. I mean, just talk. I'm sure that the scribes and the elders were getting frustrated, and they were probably thinking to themselves, ma'am, we got to get on with this. We're running out of time. We're never going to have time to crucify this man if you don't quit fooling around here. Now you want to send him over to Herod? Oh, we're never going to have time to do this. And so they sent him over to Herod. When he was with Pilate, talk. Questions, answers. No problem. Jesus talked to Pilate. But he came in before Herod, and the Bible says, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Herod did all he could to provoke Jesus. He mocked him. He ridiculed him. He shamed him. He did everything he could. Speak to me. Speak to me. Do you not know who I am? Do you not understand that I have the authority to either set you free or to execute you? And the Bible says Jesus answered not a word. Isn't that something? Oh, he talked Pilate's ear off, but he never said a word to King Herod. And I don't know, it doesn't say in the Bible, but I can imagine that just towards the end of that conversation, Herod is red in the face and as mad as he can be, and he stands up and he points his finger at Jesus and says, look at me when I'm talking to you. And it doesn't say, but I could just about imagine that at that point, Jesus lifted his head and looked right into Herod's eyes and gave him a look that went all the way down to the soles of his feet. And the Spirit of God spoke to Herod's heart and said to him, sir, you had your chance to hear the voice of God, and you cut his head off. You will never hear the voice of God again. And Jesus never opened his mouth to Herod. In other words, folks, if you don't walk in the light that you've been given, you're not getting any new light. That's why it's so key to be in God's house. That's why it's so key to daily read your Bible. This is light right here, folks. And this is light. What we're doing here is light. Oh, I try my best every time I come in here to give you some light. It may not be entertaining, it may not be funny, but oh, I do my best just to give you a light every time you come through the door. I'm already looking forward to next Sunday morning. I know what's coming, and you're going to love it. It's light. It's light. And that's why Peter said, hey, Christian, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Grow in the grace that you have been given. May God help us not to reject the light that's been shined on our pathway.